It's showtime, folks. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a good day so far. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Nick Kieser hanging out as well on this Friday morning. Day one of the tournament is in the books. And what a fun day it was. The Vols continue. Kentucky does not. JoJo, what's up?
I am absolutely livid this morning over something that happened last night. And I text you this morning. I just need a minute to get this off my chest. We'll talk Tennessee. We'll talk Kentucky. We'll talk Predators. But yes.
Let me say something good, and then you can do that.
Okay.
Also, 16-game point streak. Just reminds me of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. Woo! That's where the Predators are right now.
What the hell was that?
It was Ric Flair.
Oh, okay.
16 times. Come on, keep up now.
I'm trying, man.
Predators 16-game point streak. Not only did they beat Florida last night, but they went in and just opened up a can, won 3-0. Kevin Lankinen was fantastic. Philip Forsberg with a 2-goal night, fantastic. This team just clicking right now.
It's fantastic to watch.
It's awesome. And they come back to town tomorrow against Detroit and then Vegas on Tuesday.
I mean, the last regular season
loss.
Give
it to me one more time.
Woo!
Woo!
Mid-February to that awful loss to Dallas. And then, I mean, this is such a great story about U2 and Trotz and Brunette.
Oh, by the way, so Sean Henry's going to join us at 9:15, right?
Okay.
Like he does on Friday. I texted him last night and I said, hey, really looking forward to that U2 concert on Broadway in June.
It's got to happen.
I mean, like, that's just how I feel right now. Like, there's a long way to go and a lot of stuff can happen and all of that. And we know how this works, but I'm enjoying the ride.
Absolutely.
And everybody should enjoy the ride. I mean, I went going into this season, people were like, Chase, how do you think the Preds are going to be? What do you think they're going to do? They made a lot of changes. They got a new coach, new GM. I'm like, I really don't know how good they're going to be, but I know they're going to be fun to watch. And not only have they been fun to watch, but the last 16 games at least, they've been really, really good. And that has been just even better.
Let's tell people, it's Bono, not Bono.
It's Bono.
For those not
I've never,
us.
I've
not,
never heard Bono.
You have. Oh, I hear it all the time.
It's Bono.
I hear Bono. It's Bono. And just letting people
go
know.
Go watch The Simpsons and
you
you'll
do.
Learn.
Yeah, right. Just like your loser is not spelled with two zeros, has John Calipari. We'll figure that out.
That's looser.
Yeah, that's looser.
And that's a totally different thing.
Right. there, and there. All right, so Chase is going to give me
you have
60 seconds, right? So last night watching the Samford and Kansas game, and I'm a little biased because I went to Samford a little bit. I was the worst student that ever attended Samford University. The worst student that ever attended Samford University. But they got royally screwed last night on a call in the tournament that should not happen. Dr. Crane, can you play this for us?
Going to be able to knock down their free throws.
90-89. Kansas gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run.
It's a block.
And he missed the shot.
Did they call a foul?
He went for the jam. Should have gone for the layup. Hit the deck hard.
I got to see the replay. Yep. Was that clean? I got to see the replay, though.
All right.
It was clean.
So
They don't call it.
You heard the entire crowd. So Kansas guy goes for a breakaway. He's going to dunk. The Samford guy with a great hustle goes down the court and blocks the ball from behind. Does not touch the guy. And they call him a foul. And Samford should have had the ball going back the other way. It totally screwed him. It ruined the game. My question is, with all the technology today, how do you not review that? How do you not review such a bad call? Now, some have said, well, you know what? You take it out of the hands of the referees. And I get the game is fast. And I get these guys are big. And they're going up and down the court. But you royally screwed a basketball team last night. Big time. And it happens all the time. And you heard that entire arena just booing, booing, and booing nonstop. You're like, well, you know, refs make bad calls, you know, and you're afraid you're going to hurt their feelings. I don't, you know, get the coaches a chance to say, look, I want to review this play. Or somebody on press row whose job is, all right, you know, like the NFL does. They get somebody who reviews and says, hey, that's a bad call. Review that and go the other way. Why can't we do this? You screwed a basketball team last night. Refs, you did. And look, I don't want to hear from the refs. I know it's a tough job. I understand that. But there should be a different parameter where you can say, hey, we're going to weigh down. We're going to see this. It was a bad call. Let's give this team a chance to do this. Somebody's got to, from above somewhere, has got to say, hey, we got to review these calls. We got to do this. It can't happen anymore because it happens too much. We have enough technology that should not happen anymore. Samford got screwed last night. And I don't care if it's Samford or Duquesne or Drake or Kentucky or Tennessee, whomever it was, but they got screwed last night on a call that was absolutely awful. And again, refs, I know you have a tough job, but there should be somebody on press row or up top or wherever who could say that was a bad call. Let's review it and go forward. I don't care if you hurt the refs' feelings, okay?
I agree. Get it right.
I don't care.
Get the call right.
Right. I mean, there's only been one perfect person that's walked planet Earth the entire time Earth has been here, okay? Refs make mistakes. People make mistakes. It's okay to overrule and say, hey.
We have the technology to help them.
All right. I'm livid about this. But it could have been any team last night.
Sure.
That got royally screwed. And Samford basketball got royally screwed last night in the tournament. Now, will they have come back and won? I don't know. But I'm talking
back
about
down by like 20.
I'm talking about that play, and I'm done. Stop screwing these kids over. All right, Chase.
That was very passionate, by the way. Very good.
Fired me up, man.
Jameson said before you even started that, I feel like Joe is going to be hot over the end of the Samford-Kansas game. It was a clean block that was called a foul. That on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. So, full disclosure, I fell asleep.
Okay.
And when I fell asleep, Tennessee had whooped, you know, they had moved on. Samford was down by like 20.
Yeah.
And NC State was up. I think they ended up winning. Drake was up. They ended up, you know, costing me money. But so I see it this morning. Like, I wake up, I saw your text, and I see it this morning. And I was like, wait, what? They actually called this? And I agree.
Right.
And I agree. Like, this is where, you know, I know it's a bang-bang play and you're making a decision, but that's where the refs decide, maybe not the outcome of the game, but surely the outcome of the play, and they should not be a part of the story. They're
no.
there to officiate. And I agree that there's got to be some checks and balances where it's just like, hey, we're going to look at this. And you know what? Hey, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
But they're too afraid to do that because
they're afraid of upsetting the refs.
Sure.
Like,
did Steratore look at it?
I don't know. I was so mad. I was
because I gotta say, I love and people that may not remember, Gene Steratore, Super Bowl ref, was NFL ref for a long time. He was also a basketball ref, so that's why he's on their NCAA coverage
okay.
as well. He officiated during an NCAA tournament. So I think he does a really, really good job. And they had him throughout the day. They had him in the command center
nice.
At CBS where he was watching all the games and could weigh in on calls and stuff. So I'd be curious of what he had to say about it. But because most of the time, you know, he's making the right call. But guess what he's doing? He's sitting there and he's looking at a replay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know he has been one that has said that they should allow them to review more.
Well, they should. And the referees, look, again, I get it. I'm getting a text. I know you have a tough job. I get that. But there should be other people that can help you out and say, look, that was a bad call. Let's overrule that call. It's okay if a call gets overruled. And now, like, well, we're going to upset the refs on the court. The three got a big – I know they got to – but they're good at what they do. They're referees. And sometimes they make bad calls. Somebody should have been able to say, hey, that was a bad call. Let's review that. Go over the board. Or what do? They review call like flagrant fouls. And so I was like, well, that'll hold the game another 10 or 15 minutes. Who cares? You're already watching the game. I don't care about that. You're watching the game.
Right.
Like, 10 more minutes. Who cares?
I don't want to hear this, you know, complaining about, oh, it's going to add time to the game. Like Allie and Bellevue said, if you allow more reviews, you have to take away second half TV timeouts, which will never happen in the tournament. And then says a challenge flag, use the NBA, could solve this. Give them challenges. I'm fine with challenges. But, you know, here's the other thing. I'd rather add 15 minutes to a game to know that they got the call right, especially such a critical call at
sure.
a critical point in the game. I'd rather add 15 minutes to the game to know they got it right. Like, as a fan, like, I don't want to leave. Like, if I had spent my hard-earned money to go to a tournament game and whether I got a dog in the hunt or not, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching a great basketball game and I've seen a great comeback against a blue blood team like Kansas and the little engine that could in Sanford, and there's a controversial call like that and I walk away with a bad taste in my mouth, I'm going to hate that.
Yeah.
Like, so just get it right.
Yep. And again, the entire arena, and probably Kansas fans are booing too. It was just so bad of a call. But there are ways that this should never happen again. Also, Kentucky will not fire John Calipari. You know how much they owe him?
$33
million. He ain't going anywhere. Sorry, Kentucky fans. You can gripe and moan. Calipari, unless some thoroughbred rich billionaire steps up and buys him out, he ain't going anywhere.
I'm going to tell you this, and we'll spend more time on Kentucky, but when they lost last night, my reaction was that was my reaction.
I thought Greg Sankey would fire him. I'm like, all right, it means more to a lot of us.
Look, there are a lot of Kentucky fans in this area. I know a lot of Kentucky fans, but here's what I will say to you. He is the most overrated coach in college basketball, and he always has been.
Yep.
Like, good coach? Sure. Can recruit? Yes, he can. X's and O's coach? He loses a lot of games that way.
Yeah.
But he was overrated at Mass. He was overrated at Memphis. He's been a lot overrated at Kentucky.
Yeah.
He is the most overrated coach in college basketball. And here's the other thing, too. Kentucky claims to be one of these blue bloods, and at one time they probably were. Kentucky's the most overrated program in college basketball. He's got one title. Patino had one title. Tubby had one title. Yes, you can sit there and argue, well, Tubby won it with Patino's team, so that's two. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
I get it's a hard championship to win. It's a hard tournament to win. How many titles does K have? How many titles does Roy Williams have? Coach K.
Oh, Coach K. Like five, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to win. Roy Williams won, was it three at Carolina and one at Kansas?
I don't think he ever won one at Kansas.
I thought he did. I need to look that up.
05, 09, and 16, I think it was. I don't think he won one at Kansas.
Hang on. I'll tell you.
I don't think
you're right. You're right. Three at North Carolina.
Listen, this is between you and me, all right?
Okay.
The last time I was wrong
was Walter Mondale.
In 1984.
Okay.
All right, I admit I was wrong. Okay, so that's it. But, no, Calipari's not getting fired. Sanford got screwed. And go Vols. There we go. That sums up the show for the most part.
We will have so much to react to with the tournament. But 16-game point streak, woo, for the Nashville Predators. We'll talk to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, coming up next.
Woo!
Woo! Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Why the isn't anyone talking about the Nashville Predators? In their last 14 games, 12-0-2, 8-game winning streak, and they have not lost a game in regulation since February 15th. If I'm a team in the West, I do not want to see the Nashville Predators. And it starts with leadership. Let's go back to July. Barry Trotz gets hired by Nashville and says, I don't want you to come here to retire. I want you to come to Nashville to win. Signs Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, Luke Shen. Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen, winners, by the way. Goes out, gets Andrew Burnett, first-year coach. If these guys aren't up for GM of the year and coach of the year, it's blasphemous. Words from Roman Josi himself, Andrew Burnett is a big part of the reason why they have a winning culture now in Nashville once again. He brought New Jersey to the playoffs, comes to Nashville. Now he's got a team that is very likely to possibly upset somebody, a major team in the first round. We got to also start talking about Roman Josi probably being the ugliest captain in the league. Now, that has absolutely nothing to do in this video, but the Nashville Predators are for real, and they deserve to start getting their flowers. Buckle up, because playoff hockey is coming back to Smashville. I'll be riding down Broadway.
PK Subban on his social media accounts talking about the Preds. 16-game point streak. That was before the whooping last night in Florida. Let's say hello to the CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, who is on the line with us. Sean, what you think about one of your former players and giving you some props?
Woo! Let's go, baby! I love PK Subban, and I love him more now. But he is a good friend of the organization. I think he's coming back in a week or so. We're going to do a Blue Line Buddies reunion again. You know, the organization that he put together for us. But I love him as a hockey analyst. I think he's added so much to our broadcasts across the country or continent. And he's not wrong. And we have the best coach, best GM, best defenseman, best top line, best shutdown line, best goalie tandem in hockey right now. And it's fun to be a part of it. It really is.
So we're lucky enough to have Barry Trotz come on with Jared every week at 5 o'clock on Tuesdays. And, you know, you know, working with Barry so many years that he's very honest and very forthcoming when he's talking about things. And, you know, a few weeks ago when this whole thing started, you know, he talked about the move that he made over the summer and making the coaching change. And it was nothing against John Hines. It was just you needed a different voice. And he brings in Andrew Brunette, and Bruno comes in, and the culture is exactly where it needs to be. And you see it from top to bottom, and the Predator way that Barry and David established so long ago is certainly there. How cool has it been from your seat to just watch this evolution in a short amount of time, albeit of the Predator way as we know it, coming back to reality?
Yeah, I don't know if you call it an evolution. You know, it took us like 2,000 or 2 million years to lose our tails. That's evolution. This has been a drastic, you know, this is what we're doing, this is how we're going to do it, and this is who we're going to be. And it was never wavering. And, you know, I've always, obviously, admired Barry, always loved to work with him in the past as a coach, and was really excited when we started having conversations about him coming here. And you look at how passionate he was about coming here. He turned down job after job as a head coach, and this is where he wanted to be. This is what he wanted to do. What excited me was exactly what you said. He said, this is who we're going to be. These are the type of players we're going to have, and we're going to build a culture here that's unbreakable, you know, for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And, you know, we might not get the result we want this year, you know, the end result anyway, but we're going to take a lot of steps in getting there. The fact is, quietly, he, myself, Bill Haslam, Herb Fritch, of course, Bruno, we all thought a little bit better. We were quiet about it, which is weird for me. But we really thought where we are right now is where we could be based on what we were doing back in July. So it's long answer to say it's awesome.
And then tomorrow, Sean, the Red Wings roll in at 4 o'clock. Let fans know 4 o'clock tomorrow after Bridgestone. So, I mean, the Bridgestone should be on fire tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been fortunate. I heard someone on the radio yesterday talking about how we weren't sold out early in the year. Every game's been sold out. The difference is, you know, you normally have 5 to 12% no-show rate of people that bought tickets. I think tomorrow you're going to have negative 1% no-show rate. You know, it's just fun. You know, people love this team. The players love this team. When Mike McCarron had his big game the other night, he was so honest. You talk about honesty, Chase, when he was being interviewed by Hammer. And he said, man, we came out flat. I mean, we were awful. And then the fans got behind us and picked us all up. And, you know, we scored 10 goals, though I know they only let us count 8. But our fans are everything. And, you know, when you look at the love affair our fans have for our players, our players back to the fans, I can't wait for tomorrow. I wish the game was at 4 a.m., not 4 p.m.
Sean, as you know in the world, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is alive and well in everybody's life. And you told us last night that with Oakland beating Kentucky, that your lovely wife is an Oakland graduate?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, for the past 2 decades or whatever it's been, she always calls them the Oakland Owls. When she was there, they were the Pioneers, and their mascot was Pioneer Pete. He looked like Stinky Pete from Toy Story. So they became, I guess, the Grizzlies at some point. But last night, our 23-year-old son got on the phone with us, and he was yelling at us because at work he was talking about the Oakland Owls. And he said we embarrassed them because that's what she's always called them. Because let's face it, they've never been very Grizzly, but right now they are the pride and joy of Oakland County, Michigan. And I owe a debt of gratitude. I got my first couch and bench for my kitchen table on a loan they didn't know about from Oakland University. They should lock the dorms better. I returned it, by the way. But I just thought it was misplaced there, so I reallocated it to a better place. I love OU. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how does a young man from New York find a beautiful woman at Oakland University?
Well, fortunately, she worked for the Pistons when I got sent there as a management trainee for 3 months, and I never left. And literally, we met the day before Halloween, and She was dressed as Glinda the Good Witch. She and a bunch of friends were doing some hospital visits to cheer some kids up. And I thought, my gosh, man, I'm going to marry that woman. And it took a long time because she said no almost every second of every day. But fortunately, she was assigned to us from the Pistons as our account auditor. And she had to spend time with me. And eventually, I guess I wore her down. I'm not sure how, though.
Well done, buddy.
We're talking to Sean Henry, CEO of the Nashville Predators. And I know that this has been a special week with Ford Military Week. There's going to be more tomorrow, the 101st Airborne doing the anthem, all those things. And we've talked about this so many times with your work with the military and Fort Campbell, obviously F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville now getting to do more there. But how special is it to be able to give back to the men and women that fight for our freedom?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of humbling, right? We all need to do more. And, you know, when you look at, you know, what those men and women do each and every day, and then what their families do every day and how they pick up and move from time to time. You know, I'm fortunate I get a chance to spend a lot of time with their leadership, you know, from the base. And it's always so impressive the type of people they are. But, you know, this week's a small way of just saying thank you. And, you know, we lock arms with MTSU and the Charlie and Hazel Daniels Center that, you know, really helps veterans, you know, finish off college and, you know, picks up on certain needs that they may have. Like, this week's just a good opportunity to say thank you, celebrate, have some fun, bring some families out. We had a watch party last night on base, which is the first time we ever did that. It was awesome. You know, a couple hundred families getting out and celebrating the Preds, and obviously a great game, too. And then, yeah, tomorrow we have one more day to celebrate out on the plaza. And, you know, if you have a chance, it's always nice to say thank you, because I don't know if any of us can ever thank any of them enough. And I say that, you know, as the guy that tries to pull these triggers. But I always walk away from those games thinking, what else could we have done to express our gratitude even bigger and better?
Sean, you know, the NCAA tournament got underway yesterday, and we've talked about that, Tennessee winning, Kentucky losing. But how cool is it that you all get to be involved in basketball every year with your deal with the SEC and having the SEC tournament here? You know, you and I were texting about it a little bit yesterday of just, you know, you're going to get the entire SEC in town. You get to see all those teams. You get 5 days of games every year. It was last week, and I know it's a big undertaking for Bridgestone Arena, but I know you have to love the partnership that you have with the SEC and Commissioner Greg Sankey.
I absolutely do. I don't even know how I can answer that. You know, Greg is an alumni with me. We both went to State University of New York schools, and we've always been like-minded. I love how he takes on the tournament every year. He challenges us to make it a little bit more fun. We added the free concerts in the park this year, and it is tremendous. Now, the negative is, and I don't know why it's a negative, but every once in a while, some goofy sports reporter like yourself will text me like, hey, golly whiz, do you think we'll ever get the first and second round again? And I laugh and say, heck no. Why would you want it compared to a conference tournament, let alone the SEC tournament? Because we have 5 full days. You have appointment scheduling. Right now, people are making their plans. 100,000 people are making plans to come to Smashville next March. The problem with the first and second round, and I love it. I love hosting it different times in the past before we locked in with the SEC. You don't know who you're playing. So on Sunday night, Rhode Island gets named in your – no offense, Rhode Island, but I don't like the state a whole lot. But they get named, you know, to your city. How many people are jumping on the plane or in the car to get to fill in the blank?
Right.
Not many. You know, so a lot of times, unless you get, you know, a regional powerhouse at UT or Kentucky – you end up looking at your building thinking, wow, I love St. Bonaventure's, but they sure didn't draw the way I thought they would. And so I'm not knocking it. I love it. It's fun. But you have 2 days of basketball versus 5. You have 35,000 people versus 115,000 or whatever the number is. So the question is, can't you do both? Well, we can if we ask the Preds to never play in Smashville in the spring again. So 1 year we did the women's tournament for the SEC and the Women's Final Four, and two great, great events. The problem is we really put our team at a disadvantage because they had to leave at the best time of the year, you know, for I think 2.5 weeks, maybe close to 3 weeks. And that's just not a smart thing to do. So we decided to lock arms with the best college tournament there is, and that's the SEC tournament for the end of time. I think our deal ends in 2035. But I'm sure it's going to end up ending in 2049 or 59 or 99.
I would just like to point out, when I have questions like this, yeah, I don't go through the proper channels. I just text the big dog and I get the answer right away. So that's the kind of pull.
Well, you
I
get
have.
Berated too.
That's fine. I'll take it. He answered my question. He gave me a good answer, yeah, and my response was, you know what? That answer makes sense. That's why I ask you these things.
Yeah, Sean, stop taking phone calls. Stop taking phone calls from these sports reporters.
You know, I love John Glennon, but when we announced the deal with SEC through 2035, the very first question Greg Sankey and I were asked, the very first one was, does this mean we're never going to be able to host another tournament? And I'm like, come on, John. And he laughed. He was such a wonderful man. But, yeah, when you have a choice, you get, you know, to eat at the greatest restaurant in the world, or every 5 years eat at, you know, someone that's not. Which do you want? You want the steak, boys, and we got the steak.
Hey, man, I'm Team Sean Henry. I don't care what Jay says. Hey, listen, I got to go back to your wife's alma mater, because three of the best actors, yeah, of all time went there. First, if Booger from Revenge of the Nerds went to Oakland University, Freddy Krueger went to Oakland University, and the great David Hasselhoff all went to your wife's alma mater. Sean, did you know this?
You know what? I actually did, because she reminds me every day of it. And you know who tried to get in and couldn't? Was Steve Guttenberg. He's from Michigan, and I think he was denied admission. And I'm glad, because he said something critical about my services once back in 1990. So I'm a bitter man. So he's from Michigan, but could not become an Oakland Owl, I hear.
Well, good. I won't watch Cocoon again because of him. Damn him.
Oh, I burned it, and I love the oatmeal man, Wilford Brimley, but I can't watch Steve Guttenberg anymore. 3 men and a baby? It's 2 men and a baby in my household.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is fantastic. Sean, appreciate it. Who's your pick for the tournament overall? Who you got winning it all?
I got Marquette basketball, of course. I have all my kids' schools going further than many people think they could. But right now I'm sitting pretty in a lot of brackets because of my OU pick, sadly over Kentucky, though I do love Kentucky. But we'll see where we end up in a few weeks. But I look forward to seeing you guys Saturday and Tuesday, where we get a chance to celebrate the Nashville Cats return. And we're going to get Jeff Fisher out and a lot of the personalities out, you know, to celebrate their relaunch. And, of course, it's Austin Peay night, too. We get a chance to celebrate what they've done this past year in all their sports. You know, great football year, great basketball year.
Well, I tell you what, since you bring up Tuesday and you read my mind, I think we should send somebody to the game on Tuesday. Let's just get more people in Bridgestone Arena. Sean, you pick the number. Caller number what to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and Golden Knights?
Well, after Philip Forsberg's performance last night and Gus Nyquist, I think we should blend the two. But that's hard. That's 23. Half of that is we can't do that. So how about number 9?
Okay, caller number 9, 615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena. Jeff Fisher in the house with the Cats, Austin Peay in the house. Going to be a lot of fun. Sean, appreciate it as always. We'll see you tomorrow and on Tuesday.
All right, go Owls. Hoo-hoo!
See you, Sean. Sean Henry, CEO, Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. And again, caller number 9, 615-737-1025.
Number 9.
They're blowing up. I'll help you.
You're good. I'm joking.
Number 9. Also,
number 9,
before you talk to the break, there were 29 million brackets that were filled out after day one. Guess how many brackets are still perfect? I'll let you know.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Friday. 615-737-1025. We're presented by Regal Realty Group and broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We will get to Kentucky in just a few minutes, but you had an interesting stat when it comes to how many brackets people filled out.
So the NCAA had tweeted this out that they're all together, there were 29 million 29 million brackets were filled out. I do not know how they came up with that number, if they called ESPN.
I did one.
CBS Sports, one. I did nine, so shut your mouth. So together we did 10, so we'll take credit for all these together. Dr. Crane, I think you did a couple. How many did you do? One? You're
three.
Attaboy.
One for here, one for myself, and one for a friend we're doing.
Did you pick the same winner all the time?
No, three different.
Okay, good job, buddy. Who do you have winning, Chase?
North Carolina.
Okay. And three of my nine I had Kentucky. Anyway, 29 million brackets were filled out after day one, according to the NCAA.com, which I don't know how they got this. 2,100 are still perfect. And we have breaking news. We'll let you guys know. Do you want to do it, Chase?
You go ahead.
Breaking news. The Channel 5 is reporting that they have found a body in the Cumberland River, and it is of the missing college student Riley Strain. They say reported drowning confirmed to be Riley Strain. They've pulled a body from the river in West Nashville off of Robertson Road. And the body is, according to Channel 5, reported drowning confirmed to be the body of Riley Strain.
Many sad news.
Prayers for his family. I know we've seen the video of his mom and his stepdad and the family. So prayers with them. And look, I don't want to get into the what all happened and all that night. It's just that they found the body. And so your heart breaks for his family in massive, massive ways.
I mean, it's just – this whole story has just been a heartbreaker for everybody, you know, whether you're a parent or not. Or, like, I mean, truthfully, I've sat here watching this unfold and I've gone, you know, how many times in my 20s was I drunk off my ass on Broadway and I got home, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, we were lucky to have Uber and things like that. And
correct.
You never had to worry about me driving or anything, but it's like
– yeah.
So many people downtown, and you just
I wrote an article a few months ago about why am I still here?
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. I went through all that, and at some really moments, I can't just plain stupidity on my part with all that. And you know, it's serious when they call out Don Aaron, so they'll do a press conference a little bit. Watch it. But anyway, Channel 5 is reporting that Riley Strain's body was pulled from the Cumberland River. And it's been 2 weeks now since he was reported missing. And we talked earlier, like, you know, we weren't hoping they'd find the body. You hope you find closure for the family. But, you know, they've pulled more bodies out of the Cumberland River. I'm like, how many bodies are in the Cumberland River that we don't know about? But that's the news right now, and so his family has some closure. It's still going to be tough, but it's been 2 weeks since Riley Strain went missing downtown Nashville, so just tough.
Yeah, very, very sad news.
So there you go. Anyway, back to the bracket. 2,100 brackets are still perfect after one day, and it's just – you'd think there'd be a computer algorithm, some goofy nerd out there would figure some computer algorithm to pick every way possible – that it would be a perfect bracket. But and also, Chaser, this is to a larger degree. This is why time traveling is a load of garbage because nobody's ever picked a perfect bracket, right? So then somebody will argue with me and say, well, in the portal, you only come out, you got 3 minutes. So in 3 minutes, can you fill out a bracket? Somebody had an argument with me over this. So, no, time travel is not possible.
Here's the thing. There weren't really – I mean, obviously, Kentucky is the biggest upset of the day. Oakland, a 14, beating Kentucky, a 3 seed, 80-76. But honestly, it was a lot of – I mean, you had Duquesne beat BYU. That's an 11 over a 6. But I don't even look at that as a huge upset. Duquesne's pretty darn good.
Right.
So I kind of – you had Oregon beat South Carolina, 11 over a 6. Again, that's more of an even matchup that I think the seeding shows. You actually had a lot of 11s win yesterday. NC State beat Texas Tech. But super upset-wise, I would say Oakland beating Kentucky's the only one that I think was really the shocker.
Was that the biggest – because that was a 14 beating a 3.
Yeah, that was the biggest one of the day, for sure. I mean, obviously we've had 16s beat 1s and 15s beat 2s, but
– So the homeboy for Oakland, it looked like Fergie's ex-husband – Greg Ruff from Trevecca was sending me notes last night. I mean, he like blistered Trevecca last year last couple at Hillsdale College. And then I looked him up and that dude took like 370 shots this year and 362 were beyond three-point line. He took 8 2-point shots. That's the kind of guy I want on my team, because you just launch him from 35 feet out. That's fantastic. On the flip side, Reed Sheppard goes down the court and launches a 30-footer. Does nobody work the ball inside anymore? Everybody just stands around the perimeter. Nobody goes inside. Nobody works the ball inside. And what it did for Oakland was just banging shots left and right last night.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to get to Kentucky and hear from John Calipari. There's a text on our text line that I've been waiting for that was, there's a shot at the orange on here. So we'll get to that and much more. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Friday, 615-737-1025. You can text in the keyword boxing, B-O-X-I-N-G, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to Misfits Boxing and DAZN's Series 13 at Worldwide Stages in Spring Hill. That is tomorrow. Text boxing right now, 615-737-1025.
Some critical mistakes at critical times again today. I mean, we had our chances. As good as they played and as many shots as they made, we still had our chances.
John Calipari last night, after the loss to Oakland, the Kentucky Wildcats exit in the first round. Once again, under Cal's watch, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And I listened to the whole interview that he did post-game. I listened to some of the press conference that you heard there. And I've seen Kentucky fans tweeting about this and, you know, other people tweeting about this, that it always comes across, it's never Cal's fault. It's always the players.
That's a good point.
Like, he's always throwing the players of the bus. Like, I saw a tweet that said, that sound you hear is John Calipari throwing his players under the bus. And it just comes across that way. And I'm not a Kentucky fan, clearly. Like, I was laughing when they lost. Like, I grew up here as a Vanderbilt fan and then around Tennessee, so certainly not a Kentucky fan. But I think he's the most overrated coach in college basketball. I think that Kentucky's the most overrated program in college basketball. And there was a texter that said, 1421 said, if Kentucky's the most overrated basketball program in the nation with only three titles in 30 years, what does that make Tennessee football with one in 50 years? My argument, sure, you can say Tennessee football has been overrated.
Right.
But how many times have they been picked to win it all in that 50 years? As opposed to how many times has Kentucky been picked to win it all?
But Kentucky fans, I mean, y'all bring this upon yourself. I mean, y'all bring this
sure.
upon yourself.
And Tennessee fans will bring some of it upon themselves,
yeah.
too. Like,
so,
I'm playing both sides here.
Right, exactly this. But here's my deal. He's not getting fired. He's not going anywhere. He's not doing anything because Kentucky fans, y'all have accepted this. You can go on Twitter, you can go on Facebook, and you can bitch, and you can moan. Nothing's going to happen. You owe him $33 million. He's not going anywhere. You're going to have more and more of this for a while. I would be floored if he resigns or quits or whatever. He's not going anywhere, Kentucky fans. You're going to have to live with Calipari as your coach for what I think is the foreseeable future.
I think sometimes the voice of the masses, and this isn't just a small minority, this is the voice of the majority. Sometimes they win. I think they're going to win. I think Cal's out.
Wish I was on your side on this, brother.
Whether it's on his own accord or mutually agree to part ways, BS or whatever, they come to some. The only thing that I see saving him, and I thought this was a really good point, and I wish I could remember who tweeted it last night. I was reading so many different tweets. Do you remember a few years ago when Harbaugh wasn't winning at Michigan? They kept losing to Ohio State, and you know he had a contract that basically was going to make it pretty hard for Michigan to get out of. He restructured that contract and basically in a way of, hey, what we've done hasn't been good enough. So he's going to take one for the team. And he put Michigan in a better spot.
Right.
I read a tweet that said Cal should do that by, do right by Kentucky and do it that way.
He's not.
He's not going to.
No.
But I do appreciate the sentiment. But I think, I mean, we've seen it time and time again with with coaches, whether it's in football or basketball, that if it get, I mean, look at, everybody said that Jimbo wasn't going to get fired at Texas A&M. I was saying for over a year, he's out. He's going to get fired. They will figure out a way to pay the buyout. They got people that have deep pockets at Texas A&M, And so guess what they did? They paid him $70 million to go away and sit on a boat somewhere.
A&M's got a lot of money.
Kentucky's got people with deep pockets that can cover $33 million.
I don't think they will.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Exactly. Thank you, Don.
I think Calipari is not going anywhere.
I think he's gone.
He got saved in 22 because St. Peter's went on that run and knocked teams off. Kentucky fans love. They bring in these great recruits, and y'all love knowing them. Y'all love them when they go to the pros and this and that. Calipari's not going anywhere, at least for now. I will be floored if he's been fired or let go or gets out. He's not. I think he stays there at least another year or two. And Kentucky fans, you have to accept it. You have to accept 49 other states laughing that you've got Calipari still as your coach. I know you come back and say, well, you know, he got us to a Final Four, was it 14 or 15, won the title in 12, and a lot of teams would love that title. A lot of teams aren't Kentucky. A lot of teams aren't what you guys have or what you think you should have and what you think you ought to be and what you've been. It's not that way. I mean, I was listening to last night some of the radio broadcast, and Goose Givens was just distraught. Listen, I mean, this is heartbreaking in so many ways. I don't think Cal sees it that way. They lost the game. Oakland was a better team. You heard the soundbite that we played. Once again, he threw his team on the bus. Chase, that soundbite could have been from 21, 22, or last year. It's the same tired dribble, drabble, whatever word you want to use from Calipari that says, hey, it wasn't my fault.
Right. Okay, so here in his career, as a head coach, Final Four appearances, 96 and 2008, which guess what? Those don't exist.
That's right.
Asterisk. And then at Kentucky, 2011, 2012, 2014, 2015. So he hasn't been to the Final Four since 2015. They won the title in 2012. So he's got one title to show for it in four Final Four appearances at Kentucky, and it's been 9 years since they've been to the Final Four. Like, to me, I don't know what we're talking about here. If you truly believe that Kentucky is a blue blood perennial powerhouse favorite, that there should be some rotation of North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky in the championship every year, that ain't it. He's not doing it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not good enough. You're not doing your job.
To the texter earlier, which has peeved me a little bit, where's more expectations, on Kentucky basketball or Tennessee football? I mean, Kentucky basketball competes for national championship every single year in the minds of all Kentucky fans. Tennessee football fans are like, hell, we got 7 wins this year. Let's not get on probation and go to bowl game and build it back up. Now you see the expectations have arisen and they're not bad. But Kentucky basketball, that's the standard, and that's fine. Every basketball team should have that standard of, like, we should win the national championship or else, or maybe get to the Final Four. And you said they haven't done it, what, 9 years?
Yeah.
There's your expectation.
5772, please stop acting like you cover the Kentucky team. You don't know. How have I acted or Joe acted like we can cover the Kentucky team?
I can tell you more than two players on that team.
Can I explain to you how this works? This is called a sports talk radio show, okay? We get on here and we talk about sports and current events. And one of the current events is Kentucky just got beat on national TV in the NCAA tournament and knocked out of the first round by a 14 seed. I think us talking about it and giving an opinion, that's not us covering the team.
Right.
I don't cover the team. I'm not around them on a daily basis. But I think I know enough about college basketball to know that they're talked about every freaking year that they're supposed to make the Final Four and win championships, and they haven't done it in 9 years. And it's been over 10 years since they've actually won the damn thing.
How dare
you? So don't tell me to text us that. Yeah, like, come on.
Jeez. I'm so sorry, Chase.
See what you do to us, John?
When you can't win a damn basketball game, you cause everybody to be upset and all this. If you just beat Oakland last night, a team you were favored over by like 75, instead, you know, you lose to Fergie's ex-husband who doesn't miss a shot the entire time. All right, I get it. So that's what's happening here. They're making us get at each other. That should not be happening. But Calipari is not going anywhere. He's owed $33 million.
What 2916? What's worse, the Bobby Bonilla contract or the John Calipari contract in modern sports history? I mean, $33 million.
Jimbo Fisher by far.
Yeah,
a lot of these are insane. And what's Stackhouse getting? $20 million.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Stackhouse is getting $20 million, and he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing in 5 years. At least Calipari won a national championship. This is just, I mean, this is just making people go crazy.
2399, nah, Vanderbilt would happily take Cal and be content with being a tournament team every year, the ceiling being the Sweet 16. No, they would. But I mean, like, the expectations at Vanderbilt are different than Kentucky, and you know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they'd take Rick Barnes and be happy. They'd be doing parades down West End.
Yep.
I mean, like, it's different. So don't give me that. Kevin, UNC, Duke, Kansas, and UConn are better. I left UConn out. That's true. Are better programs than Kentucky. 100% agree. 100%.
Yep.
I think you should be gone. Woo! We'll get back into this in hour number two. Chris Sanders, our man, going to join us here in just a few on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.